We want to turn now to matters here in the U.S. Last Friday, President Obama met with House Republicans in Baltimore and stressed the need for more bipartisanship or, at the very least, more civility.
I mean, we've got to be careful about what we say about each other sometimes, because it boxes us in ways that makes it difficult for us to work together, because our constituents start believing us. They don't know sometimes this is just politics, what you guys, or folks on my side do sometimes. So just a tone of civility instead of slash and burn would be helpful.
We wanted to talk more about this, so we've called Ruben Navarrete. He's a syndicated columnist and a regular Tell Me More contributor. We're also joined by Mark Lamont Hill, a syndicated columnist and professor of education and African American studies at Columbia University. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Ruben, the exchange between the president and congressional Republicans is getting some very interesting reviews. In fact, one columnist said, you know, for a minute, the government wasn't so lame. Were you similarly impressed?
Absolutely impressed. You know, I said before, you could watch 1,000 hours of C-SPAN and not get as great a tutorial on how government works as you got from watching this for a half hour or for an hour. And I think, you know, you got a tutorial for how government works, but also how sometimes it doesn't work and why it doesn't work. I was really impressed with the president, his range of topics, the fact that he is so good, really, in this kind of combative stage. People come after him in very aggressive ways, and he sort of rises to the occasion. If I were the president, I would try to do this every month, but at the same time, I would learn from this and not continually surround myself with people who agree with me and tell me things that I want to hear, because he really does, I think, take it to another higher, better level when he's challenged, and he ought to get challenged more often.
How do the Republicans acquit themselves, in your view?
Not very well. Well, listen, I'm going to say that a lot of their criticisms, I think, were fair. They talked about whether Obama had broken some promises, whether he had not, you know, what does he think about the fact that Pelosi has frozen them out of the deal-making processes and the liberation over health care reform. There were some very fair criticisms, I thought, that they brought up. But really, the part that sent me out the window was when Republicans started to whine, and I'll use that word, whine about how they weren't being included, their ideas weren't being respected, when, as they were fond of reminding us during the Bush years, elections have consequences. If you want to be president, run for president and elect a president. And clearly the Democrats have won. Their ideas have triumphed. And the Republicans need to understand that.
Mark, what about you? What was your reaction to the exchange last week?
Well, first, I was impressed, as you know, as Ruben said, with the level of sort of transparency in the process. It didn't feel like the kind of public posturing that happens at a State of the Union address or even a special session of Congress. This felt like real government in action, and I think it was because so many Republicans, you know, weren't used to having this particular process being televised. And so, you know, there was a sense of having one's guard down. I thought it was absolutely great, and I thought it was instructive to the American people. I think
what was instructive about it? You and Ruben said the same thing, and we have a minute here. We're going to take a break and come right back to you, but tell me what was instructive about it, Mark, as an instructor, as an educator yourself?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is that the American people don't get a sense of how the back and forth goes. I don't think they understand necessarily what issues are at stake when you get beyond the talking points and you get into, you know, the specifics of legislation. And I'm not sure they understand how the different houses, the different branches of government, rather, interact with one another in real time. And so I think they got a real lesson in civics, real life civics.
What was the moment that stood out for you?
I thought it was when Obama sort of pushed back and showed a level of aggressiveness and acuity and nimbleness in the debate sector that he normally doesn't do when he's giving a sort of prep speech. I thought that was very exciting when he said, look, I'm not going, you're asking a question that hinges upon five assumptions that aren't true, and I'm going to show you why those assumptions aren't true before I get to your question. That type of pushback was great.
Well, I'm going to push back with you for just a minute. In a moment, we're going to continue our conversation with journalist Ruben Navarrete and Professor Mark Lamont Hill. We're talking about the president's visit with the House Republican Caucus last Friday. That's coming up on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a moment, as we begin Black History Month, we hear about the power of the black purse today. But first, we continue our conversation with journalist Ruben Navarrete and Professor Mark Lamont Hill about last Friday's exchange between President Obama and the House Republican Caucus. Let me play another short clip of President Obama. Here it is.
These are serious times. And what's required by all of us, Democrats and Republicans, is to do what's right for our country, even if it's not always what's best for our politics. I know it may be heresy to say this, but there are things more important than good poll numbers. And on this, no one can accuse me of not living by my principles.
Mark, there are those who felt that the president was, I'm not sure that anybody used the word patronizing, but that was kind of the subtext of some of the criticism of it. They said he's not, you know, professor in chief. And that they felt that there was a bit of a talking down to both in the State of the Union and then that exchange. What's your take on that?
Well, I certainly could see how someone on the right could say that. My critique would be more that it's disingenuous because President Obama constantly appeals to polls when making decisions, particularly on the foreign policy, actually on foreign and domestic policy. But I think there was something patronizing about the comment, but that doesn't mean that he was wrong. You know, I think it was a necessary political move because so many of us on the left have been concerned with President Obama and really Democrats in general's failure to challenge Republicans on obstructionism, the Democrats' failure to really push back against Republicans for their lack of engagement in the political process and really trying to get laws through. You know, I think that type of move by Obama was necessary. Was the tone patronizing? Perhaps, but the message was right and exact.
Ruben, you are a person who's very sort of determinedly in the middle. You're often willing to call out both Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
What's your sense of whether the Republicans, I know you said that you don't feel that they were acquitted themselves as well as the president did, but why not? What should they have done differently?
Well, I mean, they've got to understand, you know, the one thing I think missing in Washington is moral consistency. There's so much situational ethics. You know, when we're in power, they say one thing, and then now we're out of power, they change their tune. And for a long time, for the 8 years of the Bush administration, Republicans said, look, you know, if you want to be the president, run, be president, but you're not going to choose our judges for us, for instance. I mean, for me, a laughable moment in the last 8 years when Democrats would submit names of judges, you know, as if somehow they get to pick the judges. No, the president picks the judges. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. And now Republicans have to understand that their policies don't get to rule the day. If their policies were accepted by the American people, they'd be talking to John McCain right now, but they're not. And so just to be consistent in that regard, which as I said, is sometimes a quality missing in Washington, you've got to be straight on this and say, listen, they've got to take a back seat. They've got to work with the president. But the president, Pelosi, and Reid get to drive the car. You know, Republicans don't get to be in charge because they haven't won the requisite number of seats in Congress. And they haven't won the presidency. It's pretty basic. As the president said, that's how democracy works.
Well, their argument is that it is equally their responsibility, as the Democrats did in the past, that it is equally their responsibility to stop bad policies as it is to advance, or policies that they think are bad, as it is to advance their own policies. And in that regard, don't they have a point? If they genuinely believe that the health care overhaul is contemplated by this administration and their Democratic allies in Congress is bad for the country, don't they have a responsibility to stop it?
No, they do. They have the responsibility to be heard on their issue. For instance, on abortion, a lot of them feel, you know, it's a very logical and righteous cause. They believe that public funding shouldn't go to elective abortions. And so they're going to fight that battle, and they should fight that battle. But, you know, you've got to understand your position in the scheme of things. When you take back Congress, then you'll have one conversation. You take back the presidency, you'll be in a different place.
Right.
But this notion somehow, and I heard it time and again from members of Congress, you know, we're being ignored. Our ideas aren't being accepted. Your ideas, you know, this is Reagan economic policy. I mean, independent of the fact that I like a lot of what they're saying, there is a question of sort of deference to the will of the voter. And the voters have spoken pretty loudly. I've been very critical of Obama and the Democrats. But in this case, I think the Republicans came off whiny.
And Mark, finally, people talk, the president's talking about bipartisanship as the goal here, or at least the means by which governing happens. And there are many Democrats who just don't agree with him. They think it's more important to win their ideas. And as a person who is, as you've said, a person sort of the left, do you value bipartisanship as much as the president seems to?
I don't value bipartisanship as much as the president seems to, but I think there's a pragmatism attached to bipartisanship. I mean, if the American people have the perception that you're ramrodding things through, you know, against the will of a disgruntled minority of 49% of the American people, for example, then you pay the price for that in 2010, you pay the price for that in 2012. So there's a long-term pragmatism attached to bipartisanship. It's not just about people holding hands or having some, you know, utopian vision of democracy. It's about a long-term vision of sustaining a political movement, and I think that's why Obama's doing it. But quite frankly, with health care or these other high-stakes public policy issues, I'd much rather see policy go through than to see Republicans happy. I'd rather see, you know, a supermajority, you know, push through a public option in health care than to see, you know, Obama realize his sort of vision of democratic politics. That to me is less interesting.
Mark Lamont Hill is a syndicated columnist and professor of education and African-American studies at Columbia University. He was on the phone with us from his home office in Philadelphia. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist and a regular Tell Me More contributor. He joined us on the phone from San Diego. I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Great to be here.